So you're there, Siman Aleph, Sif Katan, Sif Yud Aleph, Shach, Lamed Ches, and the Bira Grub. These are the Makomos that we want to look at today. The Mechaber says the following, Im Hitilu HaKohol Cherem, this is called a Cherem Kohol, Shalo Yishchot El Tabach Yadua, there's one tabach, or maybe two tabachim, two shoftim in the town. We know them, and they're well trusted. They've been tested. They have a great reputation. So the kohol was matil. We'll see what that word matil means. A cherem, that no one should shecht other than this one or these two tabachim, whatever number there are. V'shochet acher. Somebody comes from another city and he shechts an animal here. The Mechaber says, Yesh omrim sheshchitoso asura, that you can't eat from his shchita. So this cherem kol has the power to convert the meat of this shochet, the shochet comes from another city, into nevelo. Shchitoso asura. So the Shach says, and if this person came from another town and he violates the cherem, he had no right to shecht here locally as a result of the cherem call, domi l'choshed lo so dover, we think that as far as shchit is concerned, he's not trustworthy. That's called choshed lo so dover, and therefore we don't want to trust the shchit. It's as if the call passed his shchit. He doesn't have any Nemanus on his choshu. The Gaon says, Kishavya chaticha anafshe. He says that the reason why this meat is asur, according to this Yesh Omrim and the Mechaber, is because the principle of Shavya anafshe chaticha disu. The Pisrei Tshuva here brings a machlokes achronim. What is the nature of Shavya Nafshe Chaticha Disura? He brings one sheet that Shavya Nafshe Chaticha Disura is based on Neder, that when a person makes a declaration that this is Osur, it becomes Osur to him like Nidre Isur. And he brings a second opinion that Shavya Nafshe Chaticha Disura works Midin Adam Nemenal Atzma, that a person is believed upon himself. It's like Hodas Baldin Kimea Eidim Domi, and therefore he's believed Yosem Imea Ish. So he's believed. Again, we may have objective testimony or evidence to the contrary, but he's believed because a person's believed on himself. He's not going to be believed in a Beis Din because there's too much contrary evidence, but as far as himself is concerned, he's believed. That's the Chakira of the Pisrei Tshuva. So let's try to think if we could figure out in this machlokas between the Shach and the Gaon in the Bira Gra how they understood Shavya Nafshe Chaticha Disur. Let's focus our attention on the Gaon. The Gaon says that if somebody comes from another kol and he shechts here after the Atolas Cherem, then we don't eat from a shechita because Shavya Nafshe. What is Shavya Nafshe? If the Gaon holds that Shavya Nafshe is Adam Nemal Atzmo, Yosef Mimea Ish, did a person take upon himself this Nemanus? Does he believe in his mind that this Shchita is a Shchita Psula? First of all, what does he know about this Shochet who comes from another town? Does he know that the Shchita is a Shchita Psula? And not only that, what if he knows that Shochet? This is his buddy, you know, maybe his first cousin, with a longer button pays, and he comes from another town, and his shchit is perfectly reliable. So where's the Shavya Nafshe Chaticha Disur? So I submit to you that Shavya Nafshe, according to the Gaon, cannot be based on Odom Nemal Atzmo, because if the Gaon applies that to the case of Cherem, where's the Odom Nemal Atzmo? Why should we assume that this Shochet is shechting like a charlatan, you know, he's unreliable just because of the cherem? Is that what I accept upon myself? Besides which, I can ask you, you think, even a more fundamental question. Did every single member of the Kol accept that Kherim? You know, was it a vote that we took a democratic vote and we waved our flags, you know, and yeah, I'm on board. Other than them and a lot, so I'm not going to trust any Shochet from any other city besides this Shochet who's local. Is that what happens? However, if we take the second approach to Shavya Nafshe, that Shavya Nafshe is midin neder, then we can understand the Gaon. What happens in a case of a cherem kol? So let's just talk for a moment about how cherem kol works. How does it get set up? So this is a Beis Yosef in Siman Reish Chav Ches in Yordea, and he quotes the Rashbates. The Rashbates says that what happens is the kol accepts upon itself a cherem. There's a chrozas hashatz. The shatz gets up and he says, this is the following cherem that we're going to accept. And one hakol amen. Every member of the kol is meant to answer amen and to accept upon himself this cherem. However, there's another possibility in cherem. The Beis Yosef says that in the old days, b'yomim ha-kadmonim, the cherem was usually through achrozas hashatz, and everybody answered amen. But nowadays, he says, that's very rare. But rather, says the Beis Yosef, what is the cherem today? Hatolas ha-cherem. It's Roshei ha-kol, right? The leaders, the manhigim of that kol, let's say that city, for example. And they make achrozah b'li haskamas ha-kol. There's no agreement on the part of the kol. There's no anias amen. So now, if we assume, as we saw in the Vilna Gaon, that hatolas cherem is asur, the shechitas asura, because not of other nemen al atzmo, but rather because of neder or shvua, we'll call it, and that's what shavya nafshi means. It's what we call aflos per. So I can understand the Gaon within the context of the Rashbates, because Rashbates is saying that everybody in the kol answers amen. So if I answer amen to a shvua, it's called ona amen lacha shvua kemotzi shvua mipivdom. That's a aflos peh. So every individual says amen. That is a shvua. But how would the Gaon understand the hatolas cherem that's common in our generation, where we don't have haskamas hakol? So the leaders of the community decided on a cherem. The members of the community never said amen. How does that neder? How does that shvua operate? Again, I just want to repeat. If we go with the Tashbates that every single member of the community says amen, then I understand. That's called a shvua. That's a doraisa halacha. If I say amen to a shvua, that's a flaw, and I'm chayav doraisa. But in the second case, where we're talking about a cherem, which the Rosh HaKol were matil on the call, and that was below baskamosam, and there's no anias amen, how does that impact on me if I didn't answer amen? How could that be shayach through shavya nafshi, as the Gaon says in this case of atolas cherem? Where's the Shavya Nafshe? Again, I don't believe that the Shkit is Psua. That I'm not convinced of. Ella, what's Midin Neder? How does it operate Midin Neder? Just because the Rosh HaKol decided that they're going to be Matil L'Scherim and I never accepted it? Why is that Machayev Midin Shvua or Midin Neder when I never took the Shvua? I never took the Neder. There was never Haflas Pet. Do you have a cash?
I just don't know what you're doing. This is like surpasses the din because it's the call, so it, even though like you're not allowed to ask for something onto someone else, it's only to ask around to yourself, but you're allowed to ask around to someone else because it's a chirim call. I mean, this chirim call
is like the power of the chirim call.
Where does this come from? What's the source of it? Where does it come from?
Well, so I'm going to show you Ramban al Torah. Perhaps we can find the source in the Ramban al Torah.
See, the Bezuzit is made. I don't know. He made this up. Like, he basically made up this thing that, like, all of a sudden we can now go against the. Like, the Rabbanan allowed you to make an edit that clearly doesn't work in Yerisha because it's a good
correct. The Rabbanan, recognized the authority of the Rosh HaKol, the Manhig HaKol, to create a cherem and impose that cherem, that Isur, upon the Kol. And if we identify Shavya Nafshe, which the God interprets here in this case of Hatol's cherem, as a Shrua or a Neder, then perhaps we can understand how this Shrua operates.
And then you're going to say that makes as if the individual did it to himself.
I can't hear you.
And that makes as if the individual did it to himself.
Oh, excellent.
No,
could it be, here's the question, could it be that when the Rosh HaKol imposed this cherem, then what happens is, I don't need any individual member to say Amen or to take the Shrua. If he's part of the call, then this shvua is the shvua of the call. It's the shvua of the tzibur, so to speak. I mean, mashallah ma'adav v'dom, again, I don't mean to equate them, but let's say, for example, I listen to Chazar Sashas. So insofar as I am part of the tzibur, that one tefillah of the shliach tzibur is a tefillah, it's a ma'isa tefillah of one individual, but it's really the ma'isa tefillah of the entire tzibur. So too here, the shvua. The shvua that's being imposed here through cherem is a shvua sakol, the entire tzibur as a tzibur. And again, I don't care the size of the tzibur. If it's a city, it's a city. If it's maybe even a neighborhood, whatever it might be. And that shvua now imposes a shvua on every member of the kol. I don't need anias omen. Anias omen would only be a requirement if kol yachid v'yachid was taking the shvua. But this is not a shvua of kol yachid v'yachid. Now we're talking about a cherem that's imposed against the will of the tzibur by virtue of some sort of a power or authority that's invested in the manhig ha'kol. And that shvua that the manhig ha'kol generate is a shvua of the tzibur. And insofar as you're part of the tzibur, you dip into the shvua. Now, the yachronim vacillate back and forth. Is this d'oraisa? Is this d'rabbanan? Again, if you were talking about the tashbetz's cherem, then for sure that would be d'oraisa, because every single member of the kol is answering amen, and the Gaon understands that this is midin shvua. So if it's midin shvua, when the kol makes the achraza, the shliach tzibur gets up and says, from now on we don't eat from the shchita of anybody else except for so and so, the local shchita, and everybody answers amen. That's the Tashbetz. So that creates a Shvua Doraisa that's imposed upon each Yachid, because every Yachid that says Amen, that's itself is Aflos Peh. So the Shvua is obligatory. But when the Achronim say that this Cherem might be Durabbanan, they're talking about the second situation, which the Beis Yossi says is more common in our day, where the Hatolas HaCherem is Shalom B'Kabolas HaKol. The call is not on board. And then you have to ask yourself the question, so how does this operate? Because the Gaon calls it Shavya Nafshi Chaticha Disura, which we identified as Shvua. So the answer is that there's a Shvua here of the entire call. I don't need the individual to take the Shvua, because he's part of the call, he's part of the Tzibur, and the Shvua itself is the Shvua of a Tzibur. It's like, again, I don't mean to equate it, Mushba V'Yomi Marsina. So I don't need that every single member of Klal Yisrael has to say the word Amen in order to be Motzi Shvua Mipim. There's a concept called the Shvua of the Tzibur. And perhaps we can a little bit embellish this with the Ramban. Like, you asked me, where do we find such a concept?
Didn't Klal Yisrael need to say Amen by the corporate symbols?
I don't know, I'm not sure. Like, there were Ketan in there, I don't know if everybody said Amen or not. Right? Fair. It says Mushba V'Yomen Misar Sina. But let me read to you a pasuk in Chumash. If you can give me just a minute here. Kol cherem asher yechrem min ha'adam. In any cherem, the Torah says, you violate the cherem, most yumos. You chayav visa for violating a cherem. So Rabban writes, Ani omer, you can tell that the Ramban is saying something revolutionary. What do we learn from this pasuk? Says Ramban, Yotzei lanu din, a new din, shekol melech b'Yisrael, the king of Klal Yisrael, o Sanhedrin agdola, the maimed Klal Yisrael, yesh lan reshus b'mishpatim, v'im yachrimu al ir lihilochem oleha, v'chein, listen carefully, im yachrimu al kol davar, it's not just about a battle. He says, "Ha'over al acherim chayav misa." Now, keep in mind, here we're dealing with a cherim that was instituted by either the Melech b'Yisrael or Sanhedrin Agdolah. I mean, these are the representatives of Klal Yisrael, but they're allowed and they have the authority to take upon themselves a cherim which they impose upon the tzibur of Klal Yisrael, the Yeshlan Rishus, to the extent that the Ramban says a overall of Chayav Misa if you violate this cherim.
How does he get the Chayav Misa?
Because the pasuk says Mosiumos.
Mosiumos, but what was the whole pasuk? Please, sorry.
Here, you'll take a look. You read the Ramban inside. I'm just pointing out that according to Ramban, if there's a cherim that's imposed upon Klal Yisrael by either the Melech Yisrael or Sanhedrin Agdola, if you violate that cherim, the Ramban says Chayav Misa. Says the Ramban, because they are in charge of all Mishpatim, and they represent the Tzibur, and this Cherem again says the Ramban is not limited just to Melchama, but applies to Kol Davar, and that means that we're dealing with the Doraisa over here. Now, it's hard for me to believe that the Ramban would necessarily apply that to the Manhige HaKol, that in any Kol they have the status of the Sanhedrin Agdola, the Melech.
It's Mimka Chayav Misa, but you can still be...
Correct, it might be an Issa Doraisa, according to the Ramban, without a Chayav Misa. No, it's maybe the power of generating a Chayav Misa for violating this Chayav, that's invested in the Melech or in the Sanhedrin Agdola.
Or the Ramban.
But it could be that at some point in time, when we don't have a Melech anymore, right, the Melech is really the embodiment of the Kol, or the Sanhedrin Agdola, right? The Maimon Klal Yisrael. So that now we don't have a Melech, we don't have a Sanhedrin, so now we go back to the Kol. But who's going to represent the Kol? If the Kol wants to take upon itself a Cherem. So in every community we have the Manhigi HaKol, they sort of replace the Melech or the Sanhedrin Agdol, either way you want to have it. And they can now, as representatives of the Kol, they can do a Maisa Flah and generate a Cherem, which we're identifying as Shavya Nafshe of a Shvua, and that Shvua is now imposed upon every single individual. Not because the individual necessarily said yay and accepted upon himself that Shvua, but simply we have this halacha that the representatives of the Kol can create this Shvua. So if you'd ask me whether in the Achronim here they have a clara whether or not Cherem is an Issa Doraisa, an Issa Drabanan, I would say the following. If you're going with the first derech, the first ofan of creating the cherem, meaning that every member of the kol says amin to the achrozes hashatz, that's for sure is doraisa. Because then you're saying amin to a shvua, and that's a flawless pair. You could vacillate back and forth in the second derech, the second kind of hatolas cherem, in which there's no agreement on the part of the individuals. We don't need the individuals to say amin. And they did not say amin. And what we have is a hatolas acherim by the manhige akol. In that case, the Ramban would say, perhaps, that this is an isa doraisa because it comes on to kol cherim, even though we don't have a melech or the Sanhedrin. But what we have is the representatives of the kol, and they could impose their cherim on the kol even without the askom. And that's the power of a shvua of haflas atzibur, and every single person, insofar as he's part of the tzibur, he has that hafla. Or maybe it's a din drabana. It could be the drabana and recognize the authority of the manhigi kol and every single kol to create this kind of a cherem, and they can impose that cherem against the will of the people, and that's a din drabana, that they sort of created a cherem which is in the image of the cherem doraisa, which is the cherem imposed by the melech or by the Sanhedrin Agdol. So this is Ramban al Torah. Now, I want to talk to you about nafkaminas between the Shach and the Gaon. But before I get to that, I just wanted to suggest the following. You know, there's a famous Rambam in Hilchas Chanukah that asks the following question. The Gemara says in Beitza Daf Dalet that Yontif Shein Shel Golios is Mishum Minak. Minak Avosenu B'Yodeinu. Hizaru, the Chacham sent a message, Hizaru, V'Minak Avoseichem B'Yedchem. Right, because now we don't have a Sufik anymore, so it's only a Minak. Now the Rambam in Hilchas Chanukah asks Akasha about Yontif Sheni Shel Golios, and he says, how can we make a bracha on the Chais, on matzah on the second night of Pesach? I'm just giving one example of many. When we have a principle called Safek Brachas Lahakel, we don't make a bracha on a mitzvah if we have a Safek whether we're chayev in the mitzvah or we're not chayev in the mitzvah. The Rambam even applies this to an androgynous. An androgynous is a Safek Zachar, Safek Nekeva. We're not sure if he's chayev, and the Rambam doesn't have a woman making a bracha on Sukkah. So the Rambam says he doesn't make a bracha on Sukkah. He's chayev to sit in the Sukkah, but he doesn't make a bracha. So the Rambam asks, what about Yontif Sheni? So if you take a look carefully, the Brisker Rav quotes Rishonim, they ask a different question. And we don't know why the Rambam didn't ask this question. The Rambam himself paskins at the end of Hilchas Brachos, and he repeats himself in Hilchas Chanukah, that Ein Mevarchan Al HaMinuk. We don't make a bracha on a minuk. For example, Chibud HaRava is a minuk, right? So we don't make a bracha on Chibud HaRava. So in the case of Yontif Sheni Shel Golios, where the Gemara says it's Minuk Avoseichem V'Yedchem, why do we make a bracha? Why not ask the more fundamental question, Ein Mevarchan Al HaMinuk? So I heard once from Rav Shechter's Shlita, he said to me that the Rambam apparently holds that minhag is not a problem here. Why? Because the purpose and the goal of the minhag is just to accept the takonas chachamim. Meaning, Yontif Sheni Shel Golios is a takonas chachamim. Chachamim were mesakein Yontif Sheni Shel Golios. But they needed the tzibur to give their askom, right? Because called gzera, sheina tzibur, yichol alamud bo, is lav gzera. So basically you need the minog, but the minog is only a tnai. The minog only sets up the takana, but once you have the takana, then of course you make a bracha on the takana. In a case of a minog, which means that the whole thing from beginning to end was never established as a takana, it's only a minog, so then you don't make a bracha. Chibud HaRava was never established as a chiyuv derabban, a takana derabban. But Yontif Sheni Shel Golios is not just a minog. The minog is only to fulfill that condition that it should be a gzera sherova tzibur yichol lamod bo. But at the end of the day, Yontif Sheni Shel Golios is a takana. And therefore you make a bracha on a takana no less than you do on Chanukah or Megillah. It's very similar to what we're saying over here, that although the kol has to recognize the authority of the manhigim, but that's only a tnai. The manhigim themselves could create this cherem. And once they do so, it has the status of a cherem, which Ramban says is a doraisa. Although again, the Ramban is talking about melech and Sanhedrin and so forth and so on. So for example, do we have a mitzvah of Kiddush HaChodesh b'zman hazeh? Right? You and I would say no, because we don't have a Sanhedrin. But it could be that if we don't have a Sanhedrin, then our mitzvah of Kiddush HaChodesh is that we as a kol would be Mekadesh the Chodesh. So it could be that the Ramban might maintain that if in the absence of a melech or Sanhedrin, the kol itself, meaning their representatives, which are the manhiga kol, they create the cherem, then that cherem is mechayev and it has validity. And then we understand the Gaon who's saying that if itilu akol cherem shlo yishchot, and this is shavya nafshi, but this is a shavya nafshi of the din of neder. It's not the shavya nafshi of adam nemal atzma. Whereas the shach says no, the whole business here of shchitos asur is only because we're choshed that he's not shechting properly. He's choshed al osad dover. He violated the cherem, came in from Yotzin Flots, and he shechted here in the town. We can't trust his shechita. So I want to suggest a few nafgaminas here between the Gaon and the Shach. There's a simon here in Shulchan Aruch about a mumar ochel nevelus l'teyoven. He's chashud on shechita. We don't trust his shechita. But yet, we paskin that if we do a bedikas hasakin, then we can rely on his shechita. What would be in a case of hatolas cherem al tzibur, and now someone comes from another community, he shechts, and we check out his sakin, and everything is perfect. Well, I think it should depend upon the Gaon versus the Shach, because the Shach says what? That he's Chashud. But his Chashud in the Shach couldn't be any worse than Mumar Ochel Nevelus L'Teyom. In other words, if you're asking me who's more Chashud, Yankel who eats Nevela, I mean, he's Mamasha Trefin Yak, or Beryl who violates the Cherim, and he came in from another town. You know, my father came from a town called Plisa, so the next town over was called Germanovich. So my father said he had cousins in Germanovich. So his cousin comes in from Germanovich, he does Shechita in Plisa, and you're going to tell me he's more Chashud than a Mumar Ochel Nevelus? I mean, the guy is a Nevelitiker guy, right? But nevertheless, we did a B'dikas Sakin, and what we do in B'dikas Sakin, the halacha is that we trust his Shechita. No, so I would say Allah has kama v'kama in the case of someone who violated the cherem, because according to the Shach, the only reason his shechita is asura is because we're afraid he's being machalos nevelos, that he's not trustworthy. He's chashed al osedom. So if he's chashed al osedom, we could do a b'dika sakin. Masha'en came according to the Gaon, if the Gaon is learning shavya nafshim nidin shvua, so we took a shvua, that shvua has nothing to do whatsoever with the kashrus of the shechita. We took a shvua that we don't rely on the shechita of anyone else. That was our shvua. And this cheftz of nevela is a this cheftz of shechita is a cheftz of nevela by virtue of the parasha of the nedarim and shvuas. If that be the case, then bedika sakin is not going to help kiyu zeh, because once there's a shavya nafshe that we won't accept. You know, we take a shvua that we won't accept his shvita, whoever that person is who comes from another town, then bedikas hasakin is not going to help you to undermine the shvua. Let me ask you another question. Let's say that this shaykhid from Germanovich, who in my model comes into Plisa, and he doesn't know about the cherem. He's a shogeg. Here, I would think that the Gaon would be machmir. Why? Because the Shach is going to say, well, he's Choshed al Osadov. Why is he Choshed al Osadov? He's a Shogeg. He has no clue. He doesn't know beans about this Cherem. So he's not violating the Cherem deliberately. So why should he be Choshed? But according to the Gaon, the Gaon says, we simply don't eat the Shechit of any other Shogeg besides this one, and that's the Shvua that we took through the process of Hatolas Cherem. Then even if he's a Shogeg and we can trust the Shechit, then that's totally irrelevant. So therefore, it's mistabir in this case that it would be awesome. Now, there's a shach here in Lamed Ches that I wanted to point to your attention. What happens if there was no cherem, but the kol decided that they want to passel everyone else's shechita? There was a decision of the kol, a grassroots movement. Says the shach, mashma, the afilu below cherem asur kevin shakol poslu shechita sakol. In other words, according to the shach l'shitaso, that the reason why we don't eat from the shechita of yenem who comes in from outside and he shechts here is because we're choshed that maybe he's not reliable. The same thing could apply even without the cherem. Why? Because the kol decided we don't trust his shechita. And that's Adam Nemel Atzmo. So they took upon themselves not to trust the Shechita. And that's called a Cherem de Kol. That's called Apostle Kol, even without a Cherem. But according to the Gaon, that the Gaon understands that the entire halacha here is built on a Shvua that was imposed upon the Tzibur as Haflas HaKol, then that only applies when there's a Cherem. The fact that the kol accepted upon themselves that we don't want to eat from trust anyone else's shechita, well, that might depend upon all sorts of factors, but it's certainly not what the mechaber codifies here, because the mechaber is codifying here a cherem. And that's why the Mechaber is very meduyok when he says, Itilu hakol chere. So this extension of the Shach, he quotes it from Rabbi Yerucham, that mashma, that even if there was no chere, it's also because hakol paslu also, that would not be acceptable according to the Gaon.
Why can't it just each individual as a shavi and afshe?
Good, okay, fine.
I think it's awesome.
Fine, it could be the Gaon would accept it as a different type of shavi and afshe, but certainly that's not what it says here in the Mechaber.
The
shavi and afshe of the Mechaber here, and that's the way the Gaon understood that Tolas Cherem Shalakol is midin. Midin Cherem, that's the power of a Cherem. Now, if you want to say that the Gaon might agree that there's another halacha of Shavya Nafshi, that's fine. But that's not what it says here in the Shulchan Aruch.
That's because everyone would agree. It's a davar pasha if I think something is also that I can't eat it through Shavya Nafshi.
Okay, it could be. But again, it's not. The problem here is that the Shach wants to identify this halacha in the Shulchan Aruch with a kol, meaning that the kol passed even without a cherem. So, for example, we said before that even if the shochet, we know him to be reliable, or I know him to be reliable, or maybe he was a shogeg and he didn't realize that he was violating the cherem. In all those cases, we said according to the Gaon, it would still be aser by virtue of that tallest kol. That's a shvua that I took that I won't eat from anyone else's shkita. I didn't take the shvua, but the tzibra took the shvua. That's not going to apply in this din, which is lacking a cherem, because the kol decided that we don't trust yenim shkita. You follow my point? So to equate the two, that's not true for the Gaon. I mean, the Shach l'shitaso, he understood that the entire Easter of the Shchita is based on the fact that we accepted Shavya Nafshei Chaticha, in other words, we accepted Adam Choshud if he comes from outside. So then you could say that if the Kol decided that they're Choshed, that would also be the same din. Okay. Now I want to take a look at the Shavya Nafshei Chaticha Disura of the Mechaber. The Mechaber says the following. This is Sif Yud Beis in Siman Aleph. Hashochet b'fnei Eidim. Two witnesses saw the Shechita. Now somebody comes in to buy the meat, and the Shochet says, don't buy this meat because I didn't shecht it. Eino Nema. He's not believed. We have two Eidim that saw him shecht it. Umiu, says the Mechaber, Lididei Asura. He can't eat from the Shechita. Doshavya Nafshei Chaticha Disura. Right? He himself said, I didn't shecht it. And we don't know who shechted it, so it's an unknown. And therefore, he's not allowed to eat from the meat. So that's what it says here in the Mechaber.
Can you eat him?
What do you say?
We have Eidim. He said, we don't...
I need the last word you said. It's Eidim?
We have Eidim.
Eidim, right. We have Eidim. We have two witnesses who saw him shecht the animal. So we can all eat from his shechita, and he denies that he shechted the animal.
His das, we don't know. According to his das, we don't know.
I don't know what you mean by das. I use the word das very, strict. I don't know what you mean.
His opinion.
His opinion, okay. If that's what you mean by das, I get nervous.
Yeah,
I gave a whole shiur here. In Masech the Sota on the concept of das. Yeah. Anyway, but no, it's Shavya Nafshei Chaticha Disura. He claims that this is not his shechita.
Yeah.
If you're going to attribute the shechita to him, then as far as he's concerned, the shechita is a shechita asura. Okay. Now, the Makar, if you take a look here on the side of the Mechaber, is the Tshuvas HaRashba. Okay, fine. Now, the Pisrei Tshuva quotes a Mishnah Lamelech in Hilchos Ishus. If you want to write it down, it's a very important Mishnah Lamelech, Perek Tes Halacha Tes Vav. And the Mishnah Lamelech vacillates, is there Shavya Nafshei Chaticha Disura against two witnesses? So we have two Eidim that testify that this basar is kosher. It's basar shchuta. He's claiming it's not. Is there shavya nafshei chaticha disur? And the Mishnah Melech says, I don't know. Is there shavya nafshei against two Eidim? Or is there no shavya nafshei against two Eidim? So whereas the Shulchan Aruch, quoting the Rashba, assumes that even against two Eidim, the Shavya Nafshe, and the Shulchan Aruch is basing himself on the Tshuvas of Rashba, we have to know that this is a Safek in the Mishlemel. He's not sure about this Rashba. He's not on board, because he thinks that in the case where the two Eidim against him, there's no Shavya Nafshe Chaticha Disura. Rav Osler, let's go back to the Pisrei Tshuva again. The Pisrei Tshuva has two definitions of Shavya Nafshe. Is Shavya Nafshe working midin neder, or it's working midin adam nemal atzma? How would you make sense out of the Mishnah Melech? If the Mishnah Melech is inclined to think that there's no Shavya Nafshe when there are two Edom against him, what would you say? Which of the two tzadim, the two definitions of Shavya, is completely inapplicable? It has to be excluded.
Why can't it be? I don't understand. Why can't both work? I don't know why.
Well, no, I'm just saying one for sure can't work. Why?
Okay, which one?
That's what I was hoping you would tell me.
I don't know.
You have two choices. Because there's a 50% chance you'd give me the right answer.
Well, I can tell you why it's not either of them.
If Shavya Nafshe is a neder, if it's a neder, would it make any difference if there are two Edom against him? Absolutely not.
And if Adam Neman on Atzma,
can you give me just a minute?
Okay,
let's go through what I think is absolutely clear. If a neder is taken, everybody knows that this is mutter. Here's a chatichas kika, right? And I say kika zu asra libekona. It's mutter to everyone. I'm not changing their perception of reality. I understand that it's also to me. And the Torah Parshas Matis gave me the ability to create an Iser. If that's what Shavya Nafshe means, he created an Iser, then the Tshuvas HaRashba has to be right, that even against two Edom, he created an Iser, and that's a Neder. It's irrelevant what the Edom are saying. The Edom could testify from Hein Piz Morgan, it's not going to change anything. Oh, now ready for the other side. So what do you say? Let's say if it's Adam Neman Al Atzmo, what would you say? Should Shavya Nafshe be operative against two Edom? Maybe yes, maybe no. Here it gets very sticky. Why? Because you could say that a person has nemanus, right? That's called adam neman al atzmo. What is that nemanus? What is that nemanus? Does it mean that you could create a reality which, in the eyes of Beis Din, in the eyes of Halach, is a non-starter? I mean, that reality is not true. Is that what adam neman al atzmo means? Or does adam neman al atzmo mean that you have to have nemanus? And although your nemanus is inferior to other nemanus, because we have two Edom against you, but your nemanus is recognized as nemanus. But your nemanus could be limited. And that's I think, what the Mishnah Melech tries to argue here, that your nemanus makes sense if we don't have Edus. Edus is always Trump's nemanus. So if we have Edus that clearly indicates that this meat is mutter, then what are you saying on the nemanus atzma? Unless you say adam neman al atzmo means you can create a figment of your imagination, and in the eyes of Beis Din, it's garnished, it's nothing. But neman al atzmo, again, if it was a shvur neder, I understand very well that who cares about the Edom? You took upon yourself an Iser. But if it's a din of nemanus, so I don't know if you can have nemanus against two Edom. And that's what I think the Mishnah Melech is saying, that he doesn't necessarily buy in to the Rashba, but the Rashba might. Lishitasa might understand that Shavya Nafshi's midin neder and shvur the way we understood the Gaon, and if that be the case, then it's irrelevant to the two Edom to be machreshim. But as far as we're concerned, says the Mishnah Melech, we don't accept that definition of neder. We think Shavya Nafshi is adam neman al atzmo. That's what we saw in the Shach as well, because the Shach says if the kol accepts upon themselves that we don't trust any other shochtim, then we don't need a shvua and a cherem. All we need is adam neman al atzmo. And if it's adam neman al atzmo, I don't know how far we can go with that. If we have two Edom against his nemanus, does his nemanus, you know, register on the Richter scale if it's against two Edom? That I don't know. Now, if you turn to the next sif in the Shulchan Aruch, he says shochet sheheid olav eid echot sheshochat shaloka hogen. Interesting. The Shochet himself says it was a perfectly good Shechita. Comes along one Eid, and he says, no, it was a Shechita Psula, Shalom Kahoge, Umakrisha. So we have Akrosha now between the Shochet himself and the Eid Echad. Says the Machaber, Eid Echad Bakrosha Lav Klumu. This testimony of the Eid that the Shechita is not a Shechita Kshera, Lav Klumu. It doesn't register. So the Shach quotes the Marik, that Marik has a principle which the Gemara applies in other cases, in Misa Sabal, other cases called Kol Makum Sheminu L'Torah Eid Echad Arikan Shnayim. So the Torah believes the Shochet. And the Shochet is believed Kishnayim. Why? Because he has a separate category, it's Biyodo, whatever the case might be. So now the Eid Echad is Eid Echad B'Makum Shnayim, so that's called Eid Echad B'Akhosh Alav Klu. So for example, if one aid would testify Meis Bala, and then another aid comes to the Makish, we don't trust the second aid, we trust the first aid, because the Torah said we believe the aid who testifies Meis Samba. Zok the Mechaber, v'aid atzmo, what about the aid himself? Mutar lecho mikan ulahava, which means the following, that he can't eat from this shechita because he claims that the shechita was a shechita psula, which means shavya nafshe chaticha disura. But mikan ulahava, henceforth, he's allowed to eat from the same shochet. So the Prichodesh asks, you'll see in the back, what does that mean for henceforth? According to him, this shochet is feeding us the veils and treifas. How can you trust him on future shechitas? We can trust him because Eid Echad B'Makom Shnayim Lav Klumu, Eid Echad Shochet. But if you're applying Shavya Nafshei, how can you make this distinction and say the Shavya Nafshei is only on this Basar? But as far as the Shochet henceforth is concerned, there's no Shavya Nafshei. So the Prichodesh suggests a possibility here, and then he rejects it. He says perhaps we have to assume that the Shochet did Tshuva. So since the Shochet did Tshuva, therefore you're allowed to eat from a Shechita henceforth. In fact, the Prichodesh, it can't be. Because in the meantime, he hasn't done any Tshuva, as far as we know. If he comes, you know, and he's Lovei Shchorim and Malbei Shchorim, you know, then we'll have a Tshuva. But right now, he hasn't done Tshuva. So if Shavya Nafshei Chaticha D'Isura applies to this Shechita, it should apply to the next Shechita, and the next Shechita, until finally he does Tshuva. But how could it work? Well, when he does tshuva, it works l'mafrei. I mean, it makes no sense. That's the Prichodesh's kash. So I was thinking that maybe you could say the following, that the Mechaber here, the way the Gaon understood him two seifim earlier, in the case of Atolas Cherem, is operating midin shavya nafshi b'toras shvua, b'toras neder. Not b'toras odom nemen al atzma. The Prichodesh is 100% correct. If shavya nafshi means odom nemen al atzma, I believe that this shochet is a charlatan, and he's claiming the shechita is a ksheira when it's a shechita psula. I can't trust him until he does tshuva, but until that time I can't eat from his shechita. So what's going on here in the Mechaber? That from now on, mikan lahava, you can eat from his shechita. What happened to shavya nafshei? But if it works midin shvua, then perhaps we could say the following. Again, I'm not a baki in Masechet Nedarim. It's been a long, long time since I learned Nedarim. But what I remember from Nedarim, and please check me out on this if you can, it's in the fourth or fifth perek in Nedarim. The halacha is that a neder has to be afla gemura. Hafla gemura means that it's crystal clear from the neder that this neder will be chal. There's no such thing as a neder which depends upon someone else on an ongoing basis. I can make a t'nai in a neder, amenashi yutzahava or something like that. But to say that at every second the neder is mitla toli bi'avir and the neder will only be chal if so and so decides to do so and so, that's not a neder. That's not called hafla. What do you say? Is that what it's called?
No,
yeah, I don't know. I don't remember the sugya too well, but that's the remember that just, you know, Levi Omerli, that was the conclusion of the Gemara Nedarim. If that be the case, then I begin to understand the Mechaber according to the Vilna Gaon, because the Gaon is understanding Shavya Nafshei operates in the Mechaber's perspective from the din of what? Of Neder and Shvuah. So what happens now? He took a Shvuah, that he's not going to eat from this fellow's shechita until he does tshuva. Well, when is he going to do tshuva? I'll never know when he does tshuva. He can do tshuva at any second. Again, according to the understanding of this Eid Echad who said that he's shachet shelo kohen, he might do tshuva any second. So is your shvua a valid shvua or not? When I'm talking about the chefts of the basar, then it's not totally in him at all. I mean, he can't do tshuva because I know that he shechted this piece of meat, shalom kahogan, so I can't eat from this meat. But if you're going to ask me, can I eat from his shechita, mikano lahaba, that's already a different kind of a shvua. That's a shvua that's totally, totally bedas achir. Now, do we have 5 more minutes? How are we doing on the clock? Oh, we have 5 more minutes. So the Pisrei Tshuva here quotes a Nod of Yehuda. A beautiful, beautiful kasha from the Nod of Yehuda. The Gemara Rosh Hashanah on Daf Chaf Hei and appears elsewhere in Shas as well, tells a story about Rabbi Gamliel and Rabbi Yoshua. And the issue is about Kiddush HaChodesh. And Rabbi Gamliel established the Chodesh, and Rabbi Yoshua rejected it. He says, you're making a big mistake. And there was a whole back and forth until Rabbi Gamliel was so upset with Rabbi Yoshua because he was refusing to accept the Psak Din, that he was gozer on Rabbi Yoshua, that he should come b'maklo b'tarmilo on Yom HaKippur. You remember this? And Rabbi Yoshua didn't want to do it because he knew that it's Yom Kippur, l'shitaso. Until Rabbi Akiva told him that in the parsha of Kiddush HaChodesh it says Atem, Afilu Shogigim, Afilu Mezidim, and basically Rabbi Akiva told Rabbi Yeshua that he has to come b'tarmel kriko like the gzera of Rabbi Gamliel, and even if Rabbi Gamliel made a mistake in his calculation of Rosh Chodesh, nevertheless the Kiddush HaChodesh is chal. I don't get it. What happened to Shavya Nafshi Chaticha Di Sura? Meaning, even if I'll argue that the Kiddush HaChodesh of Rabbi Gamliel in a case of Toz was acceptable, but what about the Kiddush HaChodesh of Rabbi Yoshua? Rabbi Yoshua and his Bezdin came to the conclusion that the Chodesh is on such a day, it's a Moly, it's a Chotzer, and Yom Kippur is on this day. So he knew for himself that this was Yom HaKippurim. How can Rabbi Akiva influence Rabbi Gamliel Rabbi Yeshua to carry his makil and tarmil on Yom HaKippurim to be mezalzel in a day that Rabbi Yeshua l'shitaso understood was Yom HaKippurim? He's violating Yom HaKippurim, and this is Shavya Nafshi Chaticha Di Sura.
You can't have two Kiddush HaKiddushes. Oh.
Excellent. And that's more or less, is that what I wanted to say? I just wanted to say it a little bit different than you, but more or less the same. So again, the Nod Yehuda wants to enter into Chakira here, exactly what Shavya Nafshi Chaticha Di Sura is. Is it a Kabbalah Shvua, or is it some sort of Adam Nemel Atzma? And he wants to say that Rabbi Akiva held that Adam Nemel Atzma doesn't apply over here because we have a Din of Afilu Mutim, Afilu Shogigim, etc., etc. But if it was Midin Shvuah, then Odom Yehuda has a problem over here. Why? Because the Shvuah was that this day is Yom HaKippurim and he can't violate his Shvuah. That was the Odom Yehuda's Kasha, Ayin B'Pisrei Tshuva, right here at the beginning of Yoreh Day. So what I wanted to suggest, ala what Moshe was saying before, is the following. That what Rabbi Akiva was telling him is that there's no Shvuah here. Because your day is not Yom HaKippurim. Why? Because the din of Atem, Afilu Shogim, Afilu Mezidim, right? Afilu Shogim, Afilu Mezidim, that halacha is that's the way we establish the Chodesh. He wasn't telling him that you have to trust Rabbi Gamliel even if he made a mistake. And therefore the Nod B'Yudah argues, but Rabbi Yeshua took a shvua that this day is Yom HaKippur. What he was arguing, Rabbi Akiva, was to undermine the whole concept of Shvua or other Nemel Atzmo, any kind of Shavya Nafshi Chaticha Di Sura. And the reason for that is that Kiddush HaChodesh was established, and that's exactly when the Chodesh is. The Bezdin of Rav Gamliel has decided that this is Kiddush HaChodesh. Just to end with a short Direi Chizuk, because the Sfas Emes is very famous for asking the Kasha, Eila Mishpatim Shatosim Lifneim, if the Mishpatim are logical, they come under the category of mitzvah sichlis, then l'chora derech eretz kodma l'torah. What is the whole point here of giving us mitzvah sichlios if we can come up with that logic on our own? And his answer is fascinating. He says that when we are makayim mitzvahs, we don't fulfill those mitzvahs because of seichel, even though if seichel might be mechayev to those mitzvahs. We have to do it because Eila mishpatim asher tasim lifnei. This is the way HaKadosh Baruch Hu goes. I would just like to add a little piece to this Sfas Emes. What I think you could say here, perhaps even more than the Sfas Emes, is that when we fulfill the mitzvahs, and we do so because Hashem mandated them, what we're saying is that although our logic seems to compel the mitzvah, seems to be very compelling and convincing, but it's not the same as the Gzeiras HaTorah. They're two different entities. Because if we begin with a mitzvah sichlus and we say that our logic can compel us to do the mitzvah, ultimately we're going to make big mistakes. We're going to come to the conclusion that based on our seichel, our logic, we can extend the principle and apply it when the Torah refuses to apply. And this is what we're going through today in contemporary life. There are so many... I have a Talmud of mine whose father is... He's no longer, but Sam will know who I'm referring to. He was an ethicist. And he paskined for the South in non-Jewish hospitals on matters of life and death. When I say paskin, I don't mean literally. He didn't open a sefer. But he was a PhD in ethics, and he was the scholar, and he would decide on life and death. That's not the same as a mitzvah sichlus. For example, in some cases, the ethicists say that you can help a person commit suicide. And I don't know if you ever heard the term euthanasia and so forth and so on. The Torah has mitzvah sichlis, but the mitzvah sichlis has a getter to it, it has a definition. It has a regimen to it. It's not just, your logic is to determine how we act based on human ethics and intuition and your sense of what's right and what's wrong. And that you should know that the word ethics comes from the Greek. And in the Greek, the word ethos or ethics means mores or customs. It means it could be that in one particular society, at one particular time, this action is considered ethical. But it could be that in a different society, at the same time in the future, it's not ethical. Because ethics is so much a function of the society that you live in. And that's what I think the Sfas Emes is interpreting. Eilu mishpatim asher tasim lifneihem. That our kiyum mitzvah is not because of logic, but because of the way the Torah established it. And I'll end up with a kasha that I have. I don't want anyone to misunderstand me. I'm a gigantic fan of the Aruch HaShulchan. But this Aruch HaShulchan I can't accept. The Aruch HaShulchan has a piece in Hilchus Kibud Aveim here in Yoredeya. And he wants to know why we don't make a bracha. My father commands me to bring him a cup of tea. Why not make a bracha before I bring him a cup of tea? So there are a number of answers to that question, but the Aruch HaShulchan says that you cannot say Asher Kidshanu b'mitzvosa v'tzivanu on a mitzvah sichlis. Why? Because a mitzvah sichlis is common, he says, l'chol v'loshan. We cannot declare Asher Kidshanu b'mitzvosa that we are doing this mitzvah as a result of our sanctity. Because this is a mitzvah that based on human ethics would be common to all of mankind. So it's not Asher Kidshanu b'mitzvosa. As I say in the Aruch HaShulchan, you can see
teva.
It.
It's not above teva. It's like it's since it's part of human nature, you can't say Kidshanu because Kidshanu is above teva. It's above.
You want to answer nature. The Aruch HaShulchan?
Maybe. I don't know.
You're right. In this case, I don't want to defend the Aruch HaShulchan. I want to shlug him up. So we're on the same team.
Okay. Yeah, yeah.
But I just want you to hear the Aruch HaShulchan. Okay, He's saying, you can't declare Asher Kidshanu b'mitzvosa sivanu lechaber esov v'imo because that has nothing to do with that Kedusha. So I challenge the Aruch HaShulchan if he were alive in front of me. And again, I'm a big, gigantic fan of the Aruch HaShulchan. I would ask him to open up the Sugi of Kibud Av Va'Em and you tell me, Rabbi Epstein, that was his name, you tell me that X, Y, and Z, A, B, and C is logical. And the Gemara goes ahead and says that you're sitting there with in your royal clothes with the sorry Romy, and your mother comes in and she spits on you and she throws you a sandal and has and the Gemara says, he's Al Yitztayr b'fanel. He can't even show the tsar. Imagine he's being booshed out publicly. The Gemara has many, many wild cases. The Gemara, the Rashi quotes the Yerushalmi. The Yerushalmi says that there was a person who was conscripted by the king to be Masharis the king. And it was, the Rashi says it's a Dovrish Engel Kitzvah. In other words, once he's serving in the king's palace, there's no end to it. So his father came in his place. Why? Because of Kibbutah. I would like to know if that's logical, if that's ethical. A young man gives up his entire life, possibly, to serve in the king's palace because he doesn't want his father to go. The Gemara has a story about Rav Acha, that he fell asleep when he brought his father the drink. So he stood over him, waiting for that first second that his father would open up his eyes. Now I understand the Aruch HaShulchan is based on Dom Ben Sina, right? The case of the Parah Duma, and he refused to wake up his father, and he was a goy. That's true. There is such a thing as a guy who could reach that level, but that's not necessarily what the ethical system would dictate. So I would say that when we're mekayim the mitzvah kibbutz av, then of course the Sfas would say we should have in mind that we're fulfilling God's mitzvah. We're not doing it mitoch seichel, but more than that, we should realize that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is mekadish us. He sanctified us with these mitzvahs. We, in the case of kibbutz av aim, are uplifted by the mitzvah. We're inspired by the sanctity of Knesset Yisrael. It's very unique. Our kibbutz av aim is very unique. I mean, I saw this with my own eyes in the case of my in-laws, and maybe you all can testify something similar in your family. They refused to give up their elderly mother to a nursing home when she was totally out. I mean, I can't even begin to describe it. I mean, if it was up to me, I would have given her up months ago. But no, they know that they can give her the care that goes above the beyond the nursing home. I mean, that to me is Asher Kitshanu B'mitzvos V'tzivonu. On that kind of kibbutz av aim, you can certainly make a bracha that God has sanctified us. See, Ratzon, we should be zochet to mekayim all the mishpatim, all the chukim, all the mitzvahs of Hashem, and be uplifted by the mitzvahs because God sanctified us with Kedushas Yisrael.
Amen. Yeah.